Casey Stern now. We're going to talk some baseball with him. Casey, how are you today, sir?
What's up, guys? How you doing this afternoon, okay?
Everything's good so far, so far. So you have to maintain for us.
Geez, I mean, no pressure.
No, exactly none, because you haven't heard the previous part of the show. It's mailing in Friday.
It wasn't that great. It wasn't that great,
we're not up to much.
The bar is not high.
It can only go up from here. That's fair. Low expectations are good. I can only exceed.
Well, I'm going to describe the first 90 minutes of the show like the Jays' last 2.5 weeks. There's something there, but it's not what you want. You know, it's not quite what you were expecting.
It sounds like my social life.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. But what they've done is they've let everybody back in the race. What's your take on what you've seen from the Jays over the month of August?
It's inconsistency. I mean, really, it's like when one thing is going. It's one of these teams, and we've all seen this in baseball and over the years. It's like, you know, if the lineup is going, you know, it's really going, like maybe they should have saved some of those 27 runs they put on the Red Sox, right? Some of these other games.
Yes.
And then it's like, or it's going and then you're getting no pitching and then you're getting dominant pitching and then nobody's giving you run support and then you're getting the pitching and the run support, but the bullpen blows it. It's like they can't get the gatekeeper and the keymaster to quote Ghostbusters. They can't get these two together right now. It's one of those kind of things. And, you know, here's the good news. The bad is, it makes you feel like, this team really not going to do anything this year. And, you know, let's just get into the playoffs. But baseball's a weird game, and the Yankees do not look as good as they did a month or two ago. I mean, the injury to Michael King, the bullpen, Chapman became their sixth inning guy, Gerrit Cole has had issues. They've been suddenly, you know, once again, kind of, you know, homer happy, or you're not getting much out of that lineup. The Astros have had their own issues. Now it's announced, you know, which we kind of figured. Now Brantley officially kind of done for the year. So you're getting kind of the, you know, squeaks of the door being open in the postseason. If the team could put it together at the right time, we've seen that before. I mean, I'll give you one example I remember that I've covered that always stands out. 2006, the NL Central, you can go look at it. The Cardinals won the division with 83 games. Everybody else was under 500. They were not a good baseball team. They were underdogs against everybody they faced. And they end up going and winning the World Series and beating the Tigers. You know, you got to have the right things line up and have a way to put it all together for 3 weeks. The Jays have enough talent to do that, but they don't seem to be able to do that right now during the regular season. And now when you look at kind of the other teams, to your point, creeping in, it's like, okay, but we got to get in, boys. And they're not giving you a lot of consistency as a baseball team right now.
Well, one of those other teams that has been a surprise to many, Casey, is a team that just beat the Blue Jays in a couple of games in Baltimore, and that's, of course, the Orioles, a team that sold at the deadline and still keeps on trucking. Are they for real, or are they going to come back to earth between now and the end of the playoff push?
Look, I think, are they for real, like, are they a really good team? No. I mean, you know, they're 500, but, you know, the Jays are 10 games. That's who these teams are. I mean, I think the Orioles have, and I'm looking at it now because I knew it was less than 10. They got a plus 7 run differential, which is basically, when that stat's like that and it matches up with your record, that's, you know, it's like you were with the Denny Green thing, like, you know, you are who we thought you were.
Right.
That's who the Orioles are. So, you know, are they for real in this race to not disappear? I mean, look, the White Sox are in this race. So, and they've been god-awful, like, all year. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, how bad are these teams that the White Sox are still in it? Which makes you ticked off as a Jays fan, right? Because you should be better than that and separate yourself. But because of all of what I just said, I don't think the Orioles are going to disappear. And the one thing that I thought was going to be a bigger issue for them than it has is that, you know, look, Trey Mancini, you know, the heartstrings, the story. I mean, look, I don't care what team you root for. Who doesn't like that guy? But the Jorge Lopez thing of, you know, giving up an all-star closer when you're a team that needs to kind of play within the margins so much and win a lot of close games, I thought that would hurt them more than they have. They've got a bunch of young, hard throwers that they've got down there in that bullpen, and they've been able to pull it off. And I think, look, you got to give Brandon Hyde a lot of credit. I mean, this guy must have a great therapist. I mean, losing 110 games. I mean, you know how bad you have to be that Fangraphs had them before the season as a 0.0 chance to make the playoffs, which isn't even mathematically possible. Being in it, you can't have a 0.0 chance. They had 0.0 to get into the postseason. That's how remarkable it is what they're doing. They're for real to be in this race, but they shouldn't be anywhere as good as the Jays should be based on their roster.
Casey, when you go back to the trade deadline, did the Jays do what they should have done, or did they come up light?
No, they came up late. They didn't do enough. And here's where it's okay if you're in a spot where, let's go back to what you asked about the Orioles. The Orioles, look, they sold a little bit. You had to. They did the right thing, right? There wasn't enough for them to really implode the team, but they gave away the guys that got pieces when they had to, and you hope that that turned into something. They had to do that. For the Jays, they put themselves, and they being, I think, the ownership for the number one, because that's where when you get Ross and when guys come out there that are in management and they're talking about, hey, you know, we're trying to win it all, and we got to, I go back to, you know, signing Semien and some of the, you know, the first big signings before the, you know, last season, and you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, okay, the Jays are telling you they think they should win. Like, they're in it to win it. They, you know, right there in that 60-game season, and after that, they took off in that management. I was at winter meetings, and they're, you know, sitting there talking about all the great things they're going to do, right? You, when you sell that to your fan base, you then sell that to your clubhouse, which means you got to push for me, and you know that we're not good enough, and you know that we could use more help in the bullpen, and you know that, hey, look, we probably could use better in the lineup than, you know, Whit Merrifield, who, oh, thank God that, you know, my gosh, I won't take vaccinations. If I was a Royal fan, I'd have that guy on a bullseye somewhere in my dartboard in a basement. I mean, you know, he won't go travel up for the series. I mean, think about it. If you're a member of a team, like, you know, we're not good enough for you to get the vaccination now, but hey, if you trade me there, I'm willing.
Exactly.
But I don't think the Jays did enough, because to me, guys, and you'd have a better sense of this every day listening to these guys talk, but the management has sold you a story about all the high-level beliefs. They fired a manager when you're in a playoff position. When you do all of that, you're telling me your goals are to win a World Series. That has to match up with then what you do at a deadline. You know, the Yankees may not win the World Series, but when they lost out on Castillo and they were right there, the Mariners got him, boom, they went right to Frankie Montas. You know what? The Jays should have gotten Frankie Montas. You know the Yankees lost on Castillo. You know their pitching is lighter. That's who you got to beat if you're really trying to win a World Series, and you could have killed two birds with one stone, helped yourself, and canceled out. Really, they wouldn't have had anywhere else to go. Rodon wasn't moved. There wasn't another starter. Those kind of things, to me, are the things you really do when you're pushing. The Padres may not – look, they're not going to catch the Dodgers. And in the postseason this year, I don't think they're going to beat the Dodgers or the Mets. But they realize, hey, look, we're not good enough. And they did everything literally they could in that day and in that week to try. The Jays can't sell you that's their ideal and then not do it. I think they came light on their own expectations that they set. And it gets the fans ticked off because, to me – it comes off like you're not transparent. Don't tell me how great we're supposed to be and fire a manager because it's not good enough and then not push that way at the deadline.
I got you. We were talking about that very thing earlier in the show, Casey. But is there a counter argument there? Can you make, even though I know what your argument is in real life, but can you make your sort of your alter ego counter argument if you're Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro that makes sense why you didn't invest more capital into the trade deadline?
Yeah, you know that you're not that good,
right?
And the problem. Tell me I'm wrong, right? I mean, look, the Jays should be better, and I think they've got, you know, plenty of talent. Springer's health is uber important, right, for a run September and October because of what he means and what he could do, and the stage and tone he sets because he's so good. But they're not that great. I mean, look, this right now you've got the Dodgers, you got the Mets. You got the Astros, you got the Yankees, sometimes the Braves, the Phillies lately, and what else you got? Like, you know what I mean? I go back to the White Sox are on the 3-8.
Yeah.
Like, Tony La Russa can't even stay awake, and they're on the 3-8, right? So it's like, if you're asking me, and I'm curious, like, what your thought is, but the way I look at it from the outside, you know, I'm not in the room, being fair, but based on knowing executives over the last 20 years I'm covering the game, they're not going to tell you or me, now they may if you can't be taken to air, but they're not going to tell you, hey, we're not good enough. You know, they're just not going to do that. But they're in a room and they got to say, okay, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? If we go out there and push and we give up these prospects who we can control, when we know we got to pay Bo, we know we got to pay Vlad, right, all that stuff. When we go and we give these guys, what's the net gain? And I think they got in a room and a big part of what happened was they realized we got no chance to beat the Yankees or the Astros this year. We probably have a good enough roster that we're building, and what Manoa and a lot of these kids are doing. And to me, I'm not worried about Bo, who, look, Aaron Judge, after his first great year in his second season, it was, what, Bo's third? I mean, Judge came back, had kind of a terrible year in Yankee fans. This happens a lot with the cat-and-mouse game at these 24 years old, right? It's what makes the Sotos and the Trouts. in a realm of like two people, right? I mean, Albert Pujols, right, for the first 10 years of his career, most guys do struggle at some point, and then they have to, which I think Bo will, adjust again at the plate. But I think they looked at it and said, we can't beat these teams no matter what we do. So let's kind of see if we can get lucky, get healthy, and make a run. You know, we're not going to give up, and let's try and tweak, but it's not worth it. And they're not going to tell that to you or to me, but you tell me, that's the way it reads to me. They're not that good.
Hmm. Well, there's nobody disagreeing with you here. Aaron Judge, how do you think that contract plays out?
Oof. Well, for his family.
Extremely well, actually.
I would say, to quote Meet the Parents, strong to mostly strong. I think you're probably looking at the highest AAV that we've seen for a contract, and I would say, including pitchers, the only asterisk to that is Jacob DeGrom is going to opt out, and if he stays healthy, he may net beat Judge in that category, but Judge is going to get, you know, he may want 8 years. I think you're probably looking at 6-7 years at, you know, an AAV in the 40s. Because the thing is, you know, when you've got the Yankees, how many teams have we seen over the years? We've all seen it. That try and rope the Yankees in to create a bidding war. Because when the Yankees are in there, it scares other teams, right? And it raises the price. You have the greatest scenario if you're Aaron Judge and his agent. The Yankees are the bidding war. They need to keep you. Soto not available anymore, right? They don't have a great team right now. He's your franchise torch in your face, and he's your torchbearer. He can't hit 60 and then you lose him. Other teams know that, but they're still clearly going to get in, and all of that is going to net. I think he probably stays with the Yankees. I say probably because here's the caveat to that. Robinson Cano, who is the last time this happened with Brian Cashman and the Yankees, they did not want to lose. They wanted to keep Robinson Cano badly. They offered him $170 million, I think was their last offer. They didn't think anyone would offer more than 200, and then, you know, I remember having conversations. They thought, okay, then we can cut that gap. The Mariners offered 240 and blew him out of the water. Albert Pujols is the one before that, it reminds me of, with the Cardinals. He wasn't leaving. They had offered him 200. That's a lot of money. But he was kind of hanging out there waiting. Guess what? 250 is the offer from Anaheim, right, to pull him in. I think you're going to have a couple of franchises that are going to say, this guy's going to game change our sponsorship, right? Game change at the ballpark, game change playoff tickets, game change what our value of and our net worth of our franchise are, because he brings all of that cachet with him. And I think you're looking at in the 40s in an AAV. I think it'll be the highest average annual value we've ever seen in the history of baseball for a contract.
Casey, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Anytime, boys. Be well.